This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Live from QED in Astoria, Queens, it's Dave Hill, History Fluffer.
Is this enough heat on the microphone? I want to be able to drown out the crowd.
I think you're okay.
I think so too.
Good. No, this is a good amount of heat. Feel good about. Thank you guys for coming.
By the way, is that the lingo?
Heat? Yeah, heat. It's volume. Everyone knows that.
I did not know that.
All the rockers know that.
That's what
right?
I'm saying. That sounds like a rock.
Well, yeah, the rockers.
A rocker thing.
The rock. I don't even know.
Can I get a little more heat on the mic? That kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly right.
That's an asshole.
Well, I'm Dave Hill. Thank you. This is the lovely and talented Jim Biederman.
Yeah.
And the lovely and talented Jody Lennon. This is
hello.
The...
What if I'm going to go this way tonight?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like an old timey cigar.
That's Glenn Danzig does it. Danzig.
Really?
Yeah. No.
I've been compared to Danzig so many times.
No, he goes like this. He goes like this.
Okay.
Why?
Because it's like you're just like, he doesn't give a fuck about anything. Like, he just has the microphone. The listeners in our global audience can't see what I'm doing, but...
You want to describe it?
You're holding it to the side.
Yeah, like a one-handed harmonica.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Yeah. And then if you flip it around, I think like an ice cream scooper, if you were using... If the ice cream was really hard and it was your first day on the job. you know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like wow. Jeez. This is really...
By the way...
I'm not wearing my
way,
hat the right
first,
way.
First and last day at that job.
Yeah.
Oh.
This is... You had to be there where we explore the literally fascinating life of Dave Hill,
who
has somehow managed to really be... In the most unusual and most important times, movements, artistic, cultural, what have you, and he's always there at the right time.
That's right.
Some may say he's a muse, kind of a midwife, a midwife.
A fluffer for
a
creativity.
A fluffer for creativity.
A lot of.
A fluffer for creativity. Some may say hanger on.
That's not how I like to.
Okay.
That's
okay. We'll stick with fluffer. And we just talk about it. And we're always, Jody and I are always impressed.
It's true. It's so true.
It's strange. We don't know. He's always got a story. And they're the most amazing stories. And in many cases, like you were talking a couple weeks ago about you were there at the founding of CBGB's.
I was, yeah. Right? Yeah, those were wild times.
You wanted to open a wedding banquet.
It was supposed to be a restaurant with for people on the go,
right.
With snacks and appetizers and things right. like that, for family fun, at a price that wouldn't break the bank. And it was supposed to be open in Newark originally.
Uh-huh.
And
things changed.
We opened on the Lower East Side.
Before that, we heard about how you were the, and I know there's a joke here, so I'll let you tell the joke, but the seventh member of the band, the Eagles?
That's a very funny joke, actually. I was the sixth Eagle, but the joke was that I was actually the seventh Eagle, because as everyone knows, the sixth Eagle is cocaine. Everyone knows this.
Still funny. I've heard it five times.
A week goes by when I don't call Joe Walsh and leave that into his voicemail, that joke.
And also we found out that week that you worked on the Rumors album.
I did.
Fleetwood Mac's Rumors album.
Yeah, very funny story there. I said, Stevie Nicks, is it true that you take cocaine up the butt with a straw? Mm. And she said, is there another way to do it? Big laugh. We still laugh about that. When I hang up with Joe Walsh's voicemail, I call Stevie Nicks.
And you leave her
message. And I tell that joke into the voicemail. You know who picks up when I tell that joke is Lindsey Buckingham now. He's out.
Wow.
Yeah, he's out.
He's out.
Out.
So we were talking right before the show. This is fascinating. You were kind of aimless, I would say. Is that a good way to say it?
I was I wouldn't say aimless. I was a broken man, I think is what.
Okay.
That's how it started.
All right. You were a broken man. Kind of crisscrossing the United States.
Well, what era are you talking about? What,
you said this was 1960, and I'm not sure.
Well, I want to roll it back.
Okay.
1955, roughly.
Yeah.
I was living out here on the East Coast in what is now the Paramus area.
Sure.
And America was caught up in the craze with the roller skating waitress. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Do you guys familiar with this?
Yeah.
Like they in the 50s. They have trays
of they're rolling food. Around. Right. They're rolling around on roller skates. And my idea, because I was an entrepreneur, I had a lot of walking around money at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm going to cash in on this thing. The problem is, like, the market was oversaturated with roller skating waiters and waitresses. So my thing was, how do I get in on the rolling waitstaff craze while also managing to stand out? So how do you do that? Well, the answer is obvious. What you do, waiters, they just wear regular shoes. All the customers, roller skates, right?
So the customer comes to you.
No. They don't roll up. As I quickly learned, it was a flawed business model, because when you have the roller skating waitstaff, that's just one pair of skates per waitress.
Yeah, you have a lot of overhead with the other one.
When you have the customers come, and then you have to have the roller skates on hand for everyone, and you have to have all the variety
different
sizes, different parties.
Yeah.
And the problem is, you have them sitting down, getting up, there's blood everywhere, basically. You can't serve a side of toast without someone's going to smack their chin.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Bite their tongues.
Yeah, I got it.
Lawsuits. So I wanted to get out of that, and another misstep.
And there was more gum chewing at the time.
Yeah.
Well, because the waitresses were smart aleks, and they were chewing their gum and roller skating
and
around.
And detectives were always coming around. Yeah, and they were chewing gum too.
What was the name of the skating place that you opened?
Skaties. Yeah.
Simple.
I think I heard of Skaties.
Straightforward.
I remember the T-shirts and the caps.
I think Skaties. I heard Skaties.
Yeah, and there was a panda, and his eyes were. It was an owl, actually. And he had wheels for eyes. Yeah.
Why didn't you call it Owlies?
Trademark thing.
I see.
Yeah, there was an Owlies across town that was a sort of a gentleman's club. Owlies.
It's a strip joint. Okay, great. So now.
Well, no, it's a gentleman's club, because that way only people of distinction show up.
I see. So a high class.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
because of the name.
So you kind of lose your...
The riffraff knows not to show up.
You lose your shirt on Skaties.
Skaties, yeah. I lost everything. I had to pack up the animatronic band.
Whoa, what?
But I don't want to get into that now. I'll get into that later.
Okay.
I'll tell you real quick.
Okay, that's like an entertainment thing.
What I did, the business was flagging... I thought, let's get some entertainment in there. That's the you get people. Yeah.
During the Zamboni portion of the meal, or
no, he didn't do the
Zamboni's. Was the Italian place I opened across the street, because I had to figure out a way. How do I make money off the garage where the Zamboni is stored? But then I every night at 7 and 9 o'clock, I would be the front man for an animatronic band. It was me in sort of a gay 90s sort of outfit with the vest and the armband and stuff and the hat.
Yep.
And there'd be a singing woodchuck.
Sure.
And Swan. Yeah, he would play himself. I would hit a pedal and he would sort of...
He was his own upright bass.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly. Oh. Yeah,
I love an animal that plays
sort
itself.
Of washboard.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I had a.
And you had, I would imagine, like
I
cymbals.
I had the cymbals and matumanis, and there was a beaver that had a washboard, like sort of a, you know, the washboard.
Washboard thing.
Yep.
Thing, and he would be. And he hit it with it. So, That was all.
Oh, and he used his teeth.
Yeah. The teeth would.
It was part of the rhythm.
Yeah, it was part. Right. And this is all. I would work this all with pedals. And then every once in a while, there was an owl off to the side, and he would chime in and go, and daddy sang bass.
Yeah.
He was there every
time. Amazing.
Every, yeah. He would only come in, when he needed to take things to the next level.
Right.
You see, like a new table of people's been seated in the corner.
Right.
How can we get their attention? Hit the owl, and daddy sing bass. Yeah.
And the place would go crazy.
Yeah, and they sent a complimentary caprese salad or whatever. Sure. Over to their
Zamboni's.
Yeah.
From Zamboni's across the street.
Yeah, from Zamboni's.
Uh-huh.
And,
All right. So, it...
And pinatas.
This is all fascinating, but I want to kind of get to the after this.
Okay, so...
After 1955?
Yeah, so you're a man without... You're just lost.
The Miz... I lost everything. My...
Damn.
Debtors and collectors both... Very irritated. I was run out of town.
Mm-hmm.
I grabbed whatever I could carry with my own two hands, and I went hoboing.
Right.
I went riding the rails.
Sure.
Yeah, just riding the rails across, and I fell in with the hobo crowd. Mm-hmm. I was caught up with the whole romanticism of hoboing. Mm-hmm. And when I say romanticism... Of hoboing, I'm talking about hobo fucking, Jim. Yeah.
What?
Wait, I want to hear about hobo fucking.
Yeah, I do too. What
well,
exactly
you know,
is?
There's long.
It sounds like an Olympic sport.
You know,
what's involved in that?
When you're, when you're rolling out of a
boxcar.
Boxcar out of the rail yard in Peoria, and moving on to through Kansas or what have you. Sometimes. A tongue's a tongue and a man's touch will do.
Sure.
And yeah.
You don't know where you begin
right.
and they stop.
Yeah,
right.
You don't know.
Right.
But these are also these are the same. You know, these guys will stab you for half a can of chili.
Sure.
These same guys.
Right.
To be fair, I'd do the same.
So yeah. But that's how it was.
Yeah.
That's hobo fucking.
Wow.
I was hoboing. I was fucking and shucking because we did go up the Eastern Seaboard, and I did
actually do shucking.
Do some shucking. Yeah. Lobster.
Not just
stuff.
An expression.
No, I was shucking and lobstering, and it'll wear on you because when you're living that kind of lifestyle.
Which part?
The shucking and the fucking.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Especially when you're shucking and fucking at the same time.
Oh.
When the exhaustion sets in and you're vulnerable.
Right.
So I lasted, I want to say 5 or 6 days. And when I'd had enough and I decided I was gonna head out to Hollywood.
Wow.
Yeah,
oh.
Yeah.
Wow, Hollywood, California.
So then you went west.
I went west. I rode the rails.
And did you have any connections or expectations, or did you have any plans? You're just going to show up in Hollywood.
Did you send a letter?
Did you call anyone?
Not a one.
Just show up. I'm going to show up in Hollywood.
I got off a Greyhound bus.
Uh-huh.
I took the train as far as I could. I actually took the train all the way to Los Angeles.
Okay.
And I took just a...
A bus, like a block.
Just actually a city bus.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what. It wasn't a Greyhound bus.
Okay, so you get off the city bus.
Yeah, and here I am, Hollywood.
Uh-huh.
Get ready for this.
You set your bags down.
Yeah it was
opportunity in your eyes.
Yeah.
I pack up your best dress and follow it to the land of dreams.
You kind of took a tip from
a tit?
A tip.
A tip.
But did you take any tits while you were there?
There was a thing that happened at a rest stop along the way that I don't want to get into.
Okay.
But if you had to, what happened exactly?
They made a fist puppet out of me, Jody.
Wow.
Oh, no.
Wow. So you take a train all the way to Los Angeles, and then you catch a bus for a block, and you get off that bus, and you mentioned something that you kind of took the story of, I think it was Lana Turner? Is that what you told me?
I had heard Lana Turner... was she got discovered on like a soda
a fountain,
like
soda.
She was at a soda fountain,
right,
and she was discovered and then she was turned into that's how she became
right big
a
big
star.
Movie star. Yeah.
So I went, I would just go to soda stands, mm-hmm. and which is a soda. Is it a soda stand or a soda fountain?
No, soda fountain. Back then it was.
Where's this? What part is the stand? It's a soda fountain.
Soda fountain is like a, you know, the old Woolworths where you'd go in and.
But so it's like a bar, but
it's a counter.
Just, yeah, it just has ice cream.
Yeah, and soda
and stuff like
ice cream
that.
Soda.
So I would go every single day.
Yeah.
To the soda fountain, uh-huh. and just wait to be discovered.
Now, did it work?
Took 9 years.
9 years.
Oh,
of,
my gosh.
No, not quite 9 years. No, I went. I guess I kept going after I had been discovered. I went. It was a handful of years, but the problem is, when you're having a milkshake, several milkshakes every day.
Right.
Oh.
Your cholesterol.
Daily.
Yeah. My weight. I was up to about 275 pounds.
Wow.
You ballooned.
Yeah, I ballooned. My cholesterol levels were spiking.
So you're 275 pounds.
And I was exhausted.
So you're discovered at a soda fountain. You're 275 pounds.
And change.
Okay, well, 276
pounds. You're 310
pounds. 310 pounds.
I may have been 400 pounds.
400 pounds. What do you get discovered for? I'm
yeah,
just
what
curious.
Kind of job did you get?
Glad you asked.
Okay.
Stand in for Albert Hitchcock.
Wow.
Oh.
Yep.
Did he just like profile?
Profile. Uh-huh. My weight had gotten to a point where it was all the same profile. I could spin around.
Oh, so
and
you
it,
could
it
stand.
It was the same image, no
oh.
matter how I stood. If,
makes
in
sense.
Shadow,
and you know what, Dave?
In shadow, it appeared to be the same every
looking
time.
At your hair now, and like this was a different time, I know, but I can imagine
yeah.
it. Casting the similar profile to this,
right?
Like I can imagine your head.
This, right. These are plugs. This is all plugs.
Those are plugs.
That's exactly right.
They're really good.
Yeah,
they're
got
fantastic.
Them here in Queens.
So you're discovered. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna ask. You're discovered at a soda fountain.
Soda fountain.
You're up to 400. We're just gonna say 400 pounds,
in
give
change,
or take, right?
Roughly.
And, oh, there's more. You're actually more than that.
It's hard to say.
Okay, 410 pounds?
Let's say 410.
Okay, 410. You're discovered as a stand-in for Alfred Hitchcock.
Stand-in,
and I didn't
yeah.
know that he needed one. I didn't know that he was, but I guess...
No, I would stand in for shots, and I would do, yeah, everything.
Like the TV show when he would introduce him, things like
I
that?
I would stand in. Any, if he was just waiting in line for a restroom, I would do that for him.
Oh, you literally were a stand-in.
Everything, like, soup to nuts.
Right. So if he had to go to the DMV...
I would stand in for him.
Right.
You were his go-to guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I like the fact that if he had to go to the DMV, he got someone as fat as he was to stand in for him.
I was easily...
So that no one would be confused.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was the... I beat him. I made him look like a thin man by mm-hmm. the... I was up there.
So this is what, 1959-ish? 60?
About 59.
Right. If I'm correct, that's around the time he's Psycho.
That's exactly right.
He's making Psycho around.
Making Psycho, and that's when I saw my chance.
What's your chance?
What was your chance?
To star in the movie Psycho.
Oh,
you wanted to star in Psycho.
At a lean 410 pounds.
Well, I got into shape real quick.
Okay. Oh, what was your secret?
Cocaine. Lots and lots of cocaine.
Wow, you found
and
cocaine in 1959?
Oh,
sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, jazz.
Yeah.
The jazz
oh.
cats.
And who? What kind of jazz cats were you were at the Baked Potato?
Chet Baker. and then this guy, Jeff. I don't know. Yeah.
Jeff was probably the dealer.
Jeff.
So now you were back down to your slender.
The Italian, the chef from
Zamboni.
He had wound up being a Coke dealer.
Wow.
In L.A.
That's the thing about Los Angeles is that everyone eventually ends up there.
City of rebirth.
Yeah, yeah. Okay,
exactly
so
right.
Now it's Psycho.
Yeah.
You're trying to angle it up to be in Psycho.
Groundbreaking.
Well, yeah. I did inadvertently. Wind up in the film. I was read for the. I thought I was going to be the mother.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
At the end.
Just because I kept throwing on the wig, and after a while, people stopped asking me to stop do that.
Okay. So by the fact that they're not asking you to just not do that anymore.
Yeah, and then but one day, one person who wouldn't put up with it was Janet Lee.
Yeah.
Sure. And she's a star yelling at me, and she wouldn't back off. So she was taking a shower, and I was like, "I'm so tired of your bullshit." And I yelled in it, and I got the camera. And I goes, "Just roll on this." And I just yelled
at her.
Who
are you yelling?
Oh, at Janet Lee. Yeah.
No, but are you yelling at Hitchcock to just roll on this? Is that
some guy, Ron? I don't know, camera guy.
A friend of Jeff.
Yeah, and I just sort of yelled at her, and that's the scene you see.
That's the shower scene.
That's your eyeball, and then the drain.
No, that's
and
her.
Then the
that's
eyeball.
Her.
Oh,
that's her. But I just yelled every time you hear that. You know. Yeah. I was just like, "I'm so tired of your bullshit, Janet," and they dubbed that over that.
Oh.
Yeah, with their rant.
Wow, that's some news. I mean, that's some film history news.
No, look it up. No. So anyway, so that was sort of my high water mark on the set of Psycho, and I thought, well, from here they'll probably give me some lines since I've made.
Sure.
This scene.
Right.
And then Hitchcock gets back from lunch, and he's not having it whatsoever. So I say to him, I get right in his face, and I say, "Alfred, this movie's for the birds. The birds." And I just said it over, and he goes, and it was very peculiar. He goes and writes it down.
Right.
The birds.
And then he did that movie.
Yeah, a couple years
no
later.
No coincidence.
It was not a coincidence.
No. Because
you said,
the birds. And then also I said, why don't you just make some dumb movie where Tippi Hedren buys some birds and rolls into town, and then a bunch of other birds goes crazy. See how that flies, you fucking asshole.
And then he said, did he go flies?
Yeah. He used all of it.
Okay. So I'm assuming you're hanging out with a fast crowd.
Yeah, what kind of fast crowd are you hanging out with?
I mean, there's a lot of young male Hollywood, like Marlon Brando's out there,
was out there.
Richard Burton.
Yeah, Richard Burton was a fun guy, I bet.
Very young Gene Shalit.
Really, Gene Shalit's out there?
Yeah, he was out there. Warren Beatty.
Sure.
Yep.
Beautiful. And
did you have any... I was reading this story the other day about Marlon Brando, which was kind of fascinating. I guess Mutiny on the Bounty, he got paid $1 million in whatever, 1959, 1960 for it. It was a lot of money back then. It was like the first person to get paid.
Yeah, that's like $1.5 million.
Yeah, that's with interest, now. And he was apparently like a raging asshole. Even then.
A huge prick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even then.
Yeah, just always. But I got him back. What he every day... On set of the movie that you just mentioned,
Mutiny on the Bounty,
he would order 2 dozen donuts. Yeah. I would show up 10 minutes before he got there.
Wait! You're the donut delivery guy?
No, I would show up on set before he showed up every day, and I would do that thing where you lick around that donut and then you set it back down.
I'm unfamiliar with that thing.
Yeah.
You know that thing that you do with donuts.
It's a classic donut.
Does it have a name?
Yeah, gross.
The donut lick.
Oh.
Yeah,
and
so you would lick the bottom of all the donuts that he ordered
because
he was such a prick.
Put them back,
and then you would watch
him
eat the donut.
Taint is officially what that's called.
Donut taint.
No. That's where you put the donut in your between the butt and the balls. Then you run a mini triathlon. That's the donut taint.
To get the sweat.
No, look it up. Yeah. Then you put it back.
I have so much research.
I don't doubt you.
I pulled that on Beatty many times.
Talk about Beatty a little bit. Beatty sounds like an interesting character.
Yeah, talk about a head of hair.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, this is actually
his
Warren
hair.
Beatty's hair.
Those plugs are from Warren Beatty's head?
It's all hair that I gathered of his
on
set.
That's not bizarre. That's not bizarre.
Huh? Like, is it like a pillowcase?
Anytime he'd put his head down.
Was he?
Yeah, just one by one.
Oh, literally, strand by strand.
Strand as long as it took.
Well, it looks fantastic.
Yeah, from straight on up through Heaven Can Wait and All the Bugsy Malone, all the other ones until I had what I needed.
Reds.
Shampoo,
obviously.
Kramer versus Kramer.
I don't think he's in that.
He just visited the set.
Oh, okay. All right.
And that one that he directed that made him crazy?
Oh, no.
With Gary Shandling?
Oh, yeah. Town and Country, but that's years
Town
later.
And Country.
That's years
Did
later,
you get it? Right? Is there any Town and Country hair in there?
Or Dick Tracy hair? Is there Dick Tracy?
The brows.
Did any of that hair meet Madonna?
Give it a sniff.
Smells just like jelly.
Is there any Ishtar hair in there?
There's a bit of Ishtar around the back, the fringe, the neck hair.
We don't talk about it.
Ishtar hair. It never happened.
No, but they were and I would with Beatty, we actually shared a dressing room.
Why do you have a dressing room? I don't understand.
You haven't gotten a line yet in anything. I haven't heard of any lines that you've gotten in any movies in Hollywood.
The original cuts, the director's cuts.
You ended up on the cutting room floor.
A lot of things.
Like, so in Psycho, did you have a line that wasn't in the movie?
Yeah, I said, hey, watch out, there's a guy coming.
And they cut that right out.
Where was the, Hitchcock like, were you cut outside the hotel or the motel?
In the bathroom?
I was a maintenance guy, and I was like, hey, watch out, there's a guy dressed up as an old lady. Watch your back. Bad time to wash your hair.
That was the line. They gave you this line.
There were so many lines.
There was a bit of an ad lib in there, but yeah, that was.
Now, I find this is fascinating. This is the part. So you kind of like fall out of the Warren Beatty, Alfred Hitchcock scene.
Well, I had put my balls on a lot of stuff in Warren Beatty's dressing room. I probably should have led with that. I buried.
You buried the
literally leaf. Buried.
Your balls.
Yeah, in a lot of stuff.
And did he find out? Is that what the problem was? Or?
But why were you doing that?
Wait, what? You woke him up?
I woke him up.
You woke him up.
But Dave, why were you putting your balls on Warren Beatty's stuff?
I teabagged Warren Beatty. Yeah.
So he wakes up.
A lot of people don't know that.
And was teabagging a thing then?
A lot, I would say no one. But
no, it was in the trades.
Really?
Yeah.
Like had a hopper reported about it?
It was in the back, yeah.
So she wakes up, you're teabagging him. I'm sure he's taking like a afternoon nap.
Yeah.
He wakes up to find you teabagging him.
Yeah, I said you're not like this. Before I did, I said, "Hey, Warren, I got a cold line read for you." Yeah.
So what happens?
Then I just dropped my balls.
No, I got that part.
He was like, what? Yeah, he did not like that one bit. Didn't like it one bit.
That was a dead-on Beatty, by the way.
That was amazing, by the way. With or without balls in his mouth, it sounds like.
Yeah.
So, all right, so you're teabagging Warren Beatty. He's taking a nap in the dressing room that you share mysteriously. And he can't tell. He wakes to having your testicles in his mouth.
You're still collecting strands of his hair.
Right. What's happening?
It was a total power move. It was a dominance thing.
What happens?
Ultimately, he passed out.
Uh-huh.
But, that was the end of that. And I decided...
It was like ball waterboarding.
Yeah.
That's exactly... Right.
Baller boarding.
I know, we're close.
Baller boarding.
Thank you so much,
that's exactly
Jim.
Exactly right.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, baller boarding. Thank you. It took three of us.
It's terrible. By the way, it's happened to me. You really do feel like you're drowning.
Oh. Wait, the baller board?
Baller boarding.
No,
waterboarding. So,
insult to injury. By this point, I had already, I had taken to fixing Warren Beatty's hair to my balls also. So it was sort of an extra.
Oh, no.
Talk about a psychological thriller.
I have a question.
By the way, the curtains match the rug, right? Is that the?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So just to be clear, the hair that you were putting on your testicles
is also.
But was that Warren Beatty's testicle hair?
Oh, good question. Or his hair?
It was some of his testicle hair and some of Brando's testicle hair.
Right, so you're getting testicle
you
hair.
You had access to Brando's testicle hair.
I got access, yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, just around.
This is the part I wanted to get at because this is fascinating. I'm just going to say it. You end up in a romantic triangle between Bette Davis and Joan Crawford while they're filming Whatever Happened to Baby Jane.
What happened with me, I got sick of Beatty's and Brando, like the antics
right.
on set.
Too much for you.
Oh, Richard Burton.
Yeah. Drunk all the time.
Drunk all the time, and you know, to his credit, pulled a DH on me. Woke up with his balls on my face. So, touche.
Were people calling it a DH?
He did, which I felt was brazen.
The English are always ahead of us.
I just DH'd you. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Hello, mate. Hey, mate. I just DH'd you.
And then he threw up. And then he drank some more.
And then he passed out.
Rubbed the top of your head. Yeah. And then he, like, smells like Beatty's hair.
Like mayonnaise?
Like Beatty's hair.
Baby's hair. What are you talking about?
It smelled like Warren Beatty's hair.
Oh, Beatty's hair. I thought you said baby's hair.
I'm sorry, I have a very thick accent.
By the way.
And I'm wasted.
Jody, that's the most amazing British accent I've ever heard.
Thank you.
And if you didn't like what he did, you're not going to like what Peter O'Toole.
What did Peter O'Toole do?
He just called it the O'Toole.
What's that?
I'll leave it at that. He
turned
me upside down and dropped it in me, Jim.
Wow!
I'm not gonna miss words.
Like you're almost like a windmill, and you just
just flip me over.
Almost like a wrestler. It's like
in.
A wrestler's move.
Some say it was called the O tool.
Yeah.
Oh.
So let's get back to. I love how you bury shit.
Yeah, trifecta. You Crawford,
right.
Davis.
Right.
Okay.
And I'm assuming you're.
Ping
you're
pong and back and
sexual
forth.
Sexual relations with both of them?
Well, to define sexual relationships.
You're having sex with both of them?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Then, yeah.
And they're notoriously feuding at this point. They hate each other.
Well, they got along about one thing.
What's that?
The Eiffel Tower. They would pull an Eiffel Tower on them. Not an easy thing to do when the roles were reversed. Were they... I'm sort of down... It's a close cousin of the spit roast. Do you know that? Anyway, it's sort of like next door neighbor to the patio furniture.
I like that it's in the same genus as the spit roast.
I'd get down on all fours. Okay. They would. It's not important. Anyway, so what happened was around the time. That their sort of careers were, they were getting on in their years in terms of, you know, starlets.
Sure. And, they were no longer ingenues.
No. So the script for Whatever Happened to Baby Jane materialized.
Gothic horror.
Yeah.
By the way, for anyone who doesn't know it, story of a formerly famous child actress.
That's Joan Crawford.
That's Betty Davis.
Betty Davis,
right.
And she now still believes at the age of 60 or so that she is still this as cute as a button child actress, though she's not.
They're sisters,
and Joan Crawford is her sister, and she terrorizes her sister, Joan Crawford, who is trapped in a wheelchair.
Blanche.
Yeah.
Blanche, that's right. That's the storyline. I think she kills Blanche.
Yeah, you kind of ruined the end of the movie.
I don't think anyone's going to go watch it right now. Because they're going to sit there and watch the whole movie and think about you and Joan Crawford and Betty Davis and something about a spit roast and an Eiffel Tower.
We never did the spit roast and the Eiffel Tower. They whipped me around like a rag doll, Jim.
I had no idea that Betty Davis and Joan Crawford were so sexually aggressive.
Joan Crawford was married at the time.
That's right.
To the king of cola.
Right, Pepsi Cola,
yeah. Free Pepsi on
but
set.
But it was obviously an open relationship because she's fucking you.
Yeah. One time she emptied a 12-ounce bottle of Pepsi into my butthole, Jim. Look it up.
Jim only allowed to have that information.
What's Jody,
that?
What's
that called?
That's called the 12-ounce Pepsi in my butthole.
It's just straight ahead what it is.
Yeah.
I like that. So you're having a pretty freewheeling relationship with Joan Crawford. She's pouring Pepsi in your asshole. Betty Davis.
Consensually.
To prevent pregnancy?
Did I say she tied you up and poured Pepsi in your asshole? No. That's what she did.
I was tied up, but that was consensual as well.
Fine. So now, Betty Davis, what's that relationship like?
She did the same thing, but with RC Cola.
And that was a dig, though, right? The RC Cola was a dig at Joan Crawford.
Yeah, yeah. Sort of like, I'll show you.
Right, fuck your Pepsi Cola.
Yeah.
RC Cola is just as good.
Yeah, sometimes it was Faygo.
Or what about Fanta?
Sometimes it was
what about
Fanta.
Coke?
Or Coca-Cola.
Sometimes it was Coke.
Right.
It was your other Coke in your life.
Right.
A couple times it was just... one time it was just a candle she used.
Wow.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Dave, I mean, Dave, I got to say...
Were you wearing pants ever?
Dave, I mean, no.
I mean,
they said my character was Porky Pig.
Oh, I see.
So you're just wearing a shirt?
Yeah. And a blazer. And a young kind of...
all they would like. Yeah, yeah.
A young schoolboy's blazer.
Yeah, yeah.
And a doily.
And yeah. I would always be heading into
bottomless
town.
Bottomless.
Yeah.
I gotta say, Dave, I mean, it sounds horrible. It sounds like you leave what sounds like, I think, a good business, the Skaties. Kind of a wholesome entrepreneurial,
yep,
all-American
skating
rink.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Hot dogs and hamburgers.
And Italian
love.
Place across the street.
Zamboni.
You lose it, I understand. Businesses don't always work out.
And you ride the rails.
You ride the rails, which immediately big leap of faith there. And then you go and you ride the rails, and right away you're hobo fucking and shucking.
Fucking and shucking, yeah. A little lobster and two.
And some lobstering. And then you decide that you've had enough of that after 5 days.
But no cohog.
And you get a train.
No what?
Cohog.
So you take a train to Los Angeles and then a bus for a block.
Yeah,
You hang out in front of the soda. You hang out at a soda fountain because that's how Lana Turner was.
For several years,
you gain an enormous, you become a beast. You fill in for Alfred Hitchcock as a stand-in, and a stand-in in every part of his life, it sounds like, not just movies. So you get kicked off that set. You're hanging out with Marlon Brando, Richard Burton, Warren Beatty.
You're
teabagging.
And they're hanging out with you.
Right.
Teabag.
O'Toole is taking advantage of you.
Richard Burton was literally hanging out with me.
Right.
And all the while, you're collecting Warren Beatty's hair.
Right, to make your current plugs.
Yeah. Well, no, this is Annette Bening's hair, this current hair.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So you then fall in with Joan Crawford and Bette Davis. You're a proxy for their very bad relationship.
Yeah, yeah. They would, everything they did to each other, they would test it out on me.
So if they had a fight on set...
They would throw me down a flight of stairs.
Okay.
First. Yeah.
If she had to drag Bette Davis across the floor,
they would throw me down a flight of stairs. Yeah.
Okay, but if they had like a slapping thing, what would happen then? What would they?
They would slap me and then they would throw me down a flight of stairs. And when I get to the bottom, they'd pick me up and they'd dump a bottle of RC down my butthole.
Bette Davis would.
Yeah,
I'm going to assume that Joan Crawford was always
Pepsi.
Yeah,
yeah, she had to be.
She's brand loyal. She's very brand loyal.
Oh, Crystal Pepsi?
Back then, I don't think
back
so.
Then?
Her idea, though, she did
it
bring
was
it
her
up.
Idea, yes.
Oh,
yeah.
So you're constantly being thrown down the stairs. You're constantly being sexually, essentially, taken advantage of by Bette Davis, Joan Crawford. At some point, I got to imagine you say, "I have to get out of here. Like, this is bad for me. This is not a good, healthy place for me to be." By the way, are you still 410 pounds at this point?
No, I weigh 175. I was in the shape of a lifetime at this point.
Wow. Well, no wonder they were toying with you.
Yeah, I was exhausted. I was exhausted.
Did you have a role in the movie? Was there any part for you, or did you have any lines?
Baby Jane. I played Baby Jane.
I thought that was Bette Davis.
She plays Baby Jane when Baby Jane's fully old, but do you remember
the
scene
when
there's a Baby Jane?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was me.
That was you?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What they did is they took a crib and they cut like a hole and I would climb underneath and they had affixed like a baby's body.
Classic.
Yeah, and I would just be in there and I had a bonnet. Do you remember that scene? I never saw the final edit of the movie.
I think I know that scene, yeah. Continue.
Yeah, I played Baby Jane.
I don't think Baby Jane was ever literally a baby in the movie. I think Baby Jane, that was her vaudeville name.
She you might have been cut out. I didn't want to break it to you.
I would give it another look.
You might not have seen the final edit on it.
No, I would.
I just wait. So you're.
I was in a bassinet, it's and a then bassinet there was another
with a fake baby's body.
Did you have to make any sounds or say anything?
Goo goo gaga.
Yeah.
And there was another baby that turned out was a little person, and he smoked. Yeah, and he was with me as well. The original script to Whatever Happened to Baby Jane was just simply about a misplaced baby.
Oh, I see. Where's Baby Jane?
It was a rom-com, and my sort of bassinet was placed on top of a car. A family's about to go on a trip,
right.
And they're packing. Do we have the suitcase? Yeah. They speed off.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I go a-tumbling.
Sure.
Off the top of the car.
Goo goo gaga.
Yeah, goo goo gaga.
And where'd you land?
In the sort of a dust bowl. I'm saved.
So hang on, it's like a Depression era rom-com.
Yeah.
That's good.
And I'm saved by hobos.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Not hobos again.
Yeah, and then we go hoboing.
Yeah, I bet you did.
Yeah.
This is interesting. I just want to kind of jump forward to 1978.
I love 1978.
It's a great year. But you're still with, and you're going to have to explain this to me, you're still living with Bette Davis.
Mm-hmm.
This is now 18 years later. Joan Crawford is dead.
Yeah,
There's a very famous line.
Thank God.
There's a very famous line that a reporter asks Bette Davis about Joan Crawford's death.
Yes, and she says the final quote was something along the lines of, "You're only supposed to speak good of the dead." So she says, "Joan Crawford is dead, good."
That's true. She did say that. Yeah.
And do you have that tattooed anywhere on you?
No, you told me you told her to say that.
I came up with that line. The original line is, Joan Crawford is a fucking bitch. That was the original quote.
That's not what you want to say.
Yeah.
You don't want to go out.
I do have that tattooed. Just
Joan Crawford's a fucking bitch.
In my taint. I'll show anyone after the show.
In small.
Yeah.
Print.
This is a crazy story.
No, it's all true. Look it up.
I mean, after all you went through,
you
really cared for the old broad.
You could have been a little difficult
or resentful.
Resentful. But instead, you turned it. You remained the nice guy that you are.
Right.
You showed her love.
Right. I mean, you're obviously
compassion.
You're obviously trying to stay in the will. I'm going to guess at this point.
Yeah.
Did she leave you anything in her will?
She's not. What are you talking about?
Bette Davis died.
Oh fuck.
Good night, everybody. Good night, everybody.
Dave Hill, History Fluffer, is recorded live at QED in Astoria, Queens. For tickets and more information, visit qedastoria.com. For early access to ad-free episodes of Dave Hill History Fluffer and other incredible podcasts, become a Patreon subscriber for just $5 a month. Visit patreon.com/Dave Hill to join.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.